Welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host, the host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. Thank you for listening. I am glad to be with you for a few moments today. I am going to share with you the market update today. Here at Financial Abundance, which is a registered investment advisory firm located in Happy Valley, that's State College, Pennsylvania, we believe in an academic approach to investing, utilizing the science of the last 50 years from notable professors at Ivy League institutions, as well as Nobel laureates. In fact, I have to give a shout out to Eugene Fama, who's somebody that we have followed for many years, who just won the Nobel Prize in Economics today. I'm coming to you on Columbus Day, the 14th, and the news was announced this morning, so congratulations to Gene Fama, somebody that we respect immensely. And actually, you know, he first got his international notice, so to speak, in the financial realm around 1965. So this guy has been around for a while. I've had an opportunity to spend time with him in the past, and one of the big brains. But basically, we believe in an academic approach to investing, and investing isn't that tough when you stick to the science. But if you're chasing all the stories that the industry likes to propagate and throw out there, you're always going to be chasing something. You know, they'll tell you one story to get you to buy something, and another story when it doesn't do well to trade out and buy something else. It's always made me crazy. You know, investing is relatively simple if it wasn't for the people. In other words, developing a portfolio utilizing the science is relatively easy, but maintaining some discipline along the way takes constant coaching. In fact, as a registered investment advisor and the founder of Financial Abundance, I have found that I even need a coach to keep emotionally locked down and grounded when it comes to my investments. But without too much bloviating today, I'm going to get right to the market update, which is what we endeavor to do on a regular basis to give you a well-rounded view of how the marketplace is doing globally. And of course, it has been doing very well despite the current shutdown, smut down, debt down, all the backbiting and divisive, I don't even know. I just draw a blank when I try to think about the way these politicians are acting across the board. It's just sickening, and it certainly is not much of an example for our youth. But anyway, market update as of October 11th, 2013. We believe in a well-rounded approach to investing, a broad-based portfolio that's diversified across all the emerging, developed U.S. markets. And as a result, it's important that you understand how the market is doing as a whole, because you're not trying to beat the market, you're trying to get market returns. And as of the 11th, this would have been last Friday. Again, I'm on Monday, Columbus Day, sharing this with you. So this would have been business close last Friday, October the 11th. Russell 2500 Index, how's it doing? This measures small to mid-size U.S. companies, predominantly growth. And year to date, for 2013, 27%, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've had a number of people say to me, well, my portfolio is doing pretty good. Look at it. I haven't seen too many up in the 20% plus range. Most of them might be getting in the 10, maybe 15%, which just goes to show that there's a difference between investor return and investment return. You know, whenever you see these quoted returns in magazines and different places, first of all, they're rarely audited. And on top of that, they're gross, not net. But the 2500, Russell 2500, the small portion of the U.S. marketplace is doing extraordinarily well for this year. You know, 2 out of every 3 years is up, 1 out of every 3 years is down. You never know ahead of time. This is why you're in it for the long haul. Diversify, rebalance, and understand you can't beat the market. There's no science to prove it out. Yeah, even a pig roots up an acorn once in a while, but there's certainly no consistent proof that any money manager or anyone out there has continued to perform above the market consistently, which is part of why we do the market update. Russell 2000 Index, this measures small to very small portion of the U.S. marketplace, and it's just shy of 29%. So small's doing very well this year. Russell 1000 value, this measures large value companies, not growth companies, but value companies. And it's just shy of 23% year to date. Here we are in October, 23% up. The Russell 2000 value, which measures small value companies, not growth, but value companies, that's 25% year to date. And then the S&P, which is what most of us see on the news, and this is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equity marketplace, 500 predominantly large U.S. companies, and it's just doing just shy of 20% at 19.4% year to date. So in the U.S. marketplace, we've done extremely well this year, mainly due to the influx of capital that the government keeps throwing in. They're propping up the market and have been propping it up for some time, even though we've heard news of the shutdown last week where we had a couple bubbles going down. It made the turn. I heard someone say today, which it's just someone's opinion, that they believe that the reason the market had a bump toward the end of last week was because these politicians were considering sitting down and talking, but I just think that's hype. No one knows with any certainty what's going to happen in the future. This is why, again, you have a broad-based, diversified portfolio, you rebalance, and you understand you're just looking for market returns. Let's move on to the international portion of the marketplace. There we find the Morgan Stanley Capital International Indice, or indexes, if you will, in the different areas. We're going to start with the World Index. This is a weighted index that's designed to measure equity performance of developed markets. These would include Australia, Canada, Finland, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, Singapore, Spain, UK, just to name a few. These are developed countries, ladies and gentlemen. And year to date, it's, where are we at? 16.35%. So developed markets have done very well so far this year. Let's move on to the only area that's lagging for 2013, year to date. And that would be the Emerging Markets Index. Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index. This is an index that is designed to measure the equity performance of emerging markets. These would be markets like Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Egypt, Israel, Mexico, Philippines, Taiwan, Turkey, just to name a few. And that's our laggard, as I just had mentioned. It's negative 3% year to date. And the last index we're going to look at is the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, and the Far East Index. And this is a free-floated market capitalization index that's designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets, excluding the U.S. and Canada, and that's just shy of 14%. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a well-diversified portfolio, you should be doing extremely well this year, rebalancing on a regular basis, and, of course, capturing the value that we see in the emerging markets, not to be confused with a value portion, but value meaning that it's down and you're rebalancing in and buying shares of that to keep your portfolio weightings back to their targets. You need to move from actual weightings back to the targets. If you don't know what I'm saying by that, just check out our website, faicoach.com. That's faicoach.com. And we talk a little bit about rebalancing in the website. But basically, the idea is to buy low and sell high. Unfortunately, what we see most money managers do in the U.S. is chase whatever's up. And whenever you're chasing something, you're going to buy it on the way up and sell it on the way down, which is not one of the scientific tenets that is taught in investing. Rather, you should have a well-diversified portfolio, understand the concept of modern portfolio theory, dissimilar price movement. You want to own umbrella companies as well as sun lotion companies in a well-diversified portfolio. And although two areas may be volatile unto themselves, the volatility is lessened and the return increased by understanding the concept of dissimilar price movement, i.e., modern portfolio theory, and then rebalance on a regular basis. Rarely is that put into practice in my experience in the marketplace. Very few money managers, outfits, financial advisors truly rebalance on a consistent basis using target and actuals. In most cases, we see rebalancing as a guise for selling out of one fund and buying another, creating another commissionable event. But let me not drag on and rag on, so to speak, as it relates to the marketing techniques that are pursued in the marketplace, other than to say, buyer beware. Make sure you have a well-balanced portfolio that's broadly diversified around the world. Rebalance on a regular basis and capture the returns that are there, ladies and gentlemen. A couple pieces of noteworthy news I wanted to share with you. One is, I found this really interesting. It's something I picked up in my vast reading this morning, and I'll just share kind of a snippet with you. There are four main Gulf states that produce record amounts of oil. This would be Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. And they have tremendous amount of oil that they're pumping out the last 3 months as they continue to build supply. The Gulf states produce 16.4 million barrels a day of oil in quarter three. And despite the fact that we're having this shale revolution, especially here, the Marcellus Shale here in Pennsylvania, the Middle East remains the heart of the global oil industry, and it seems to be that way moving forward, according to the International Energy Agency's chief economist. Why we don't use more of our oil here in Northern America and the energy reserves we have, it baffles me. Originally, my family comes from Texas, and I remember down there seeing all the oil wells cranking out all the time and seeing so many wells that are capped. I mean, we've got so much oil in this country, it's ridiculous. They keep putting it under the strategic reserve heading, but it's been a political pawn going all the way, well, as long as I've been around, as long as I can remember studying history and politics, oil has been a political pawn, and I don't understand it because I see so many people suffering right now economically, and I don't know how a couple that's making minimum wage or right around there can afford $3.50 a gallon to go to work. I mean, if it takes them a couple gallons to get to work and back, they worked a whole hour for nothing just to get there. It's a sad state of affairs, but hopefully the politicians will get it fixed. I don't have much faith in it, although I am an eternal optimist, so we'll hope for the best. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. This also caught my eye, ladies and gentlemen. I found this to be very interesting. We have a crumbling infrastructure here in the U.S., and according to an article here, one out of nine U.S. bridges is structurally deficient. 42% of major urban highways are congested. The American Society of Civil Engineers forecast that the poor infrastructure could cost companies an extra $430 billion in operating expenses by 2020 and cause $1.7 trillion in lost sale opportunity. One affected firm they quote here in the article is Armstrong World Industries, a provider of floor and ceiling tiles. Armstrong's fully loaded trucks have to take a 25-mile detour due to a bridge that is unsafe for such vehicles, which could add $200,000 to $300,000 a year in cost for this company. So it's interesting. We're throwing all this money into bonds, and I don't know how many people are buying bonds because we certainly don't promote other than very short-term, high-quality bonds that you buy. Bonds, especially municipal bonds, especially with the defaults that you see around the country. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference between perception and reality, and we keep getting thrown all these marketing, the government marketing to us, telling us what's good and bad for us, et cetera, left, right, and in the middle. What we see is our country just crumbling around us. we just, you know what we need to do? We just need to clean the whole thing out and start over. But that's Paul's opinion. Let me leave that alone and not get too passionate about that kind of stuff, because politics enrages all of us. You know, I had a client say something to me recently that I thought was very interesting. He said, you know, we really have two nations under one today, because pretty much it's split down the middle as to the way the country should be ran. And it's divisive. And I can't recall, and I am a student of history, a more divisive time in our country's history. Of course, you can go back to like the Civil War in the late 1800s, the Revolutionary War, which really wasn't divisive. It was a uniter. And look at a country that split so dramatically. We will endure as we did through the Civil War and become a better nation as a result. But what we see today is the divisiveness is fueled by the information and technology arenas, and the fact that there are so many talking heads out there, I guess I could be considered one right here, spouting their opinions rather than the fact and the reality. And oftentimes their opinions and their vile nature of the way that they communicate their opinions are making one personal attack after another at our political leaders, regardless of what your politics is. I don't know that it's good to create such a divisive state with our youth. When you start to look at what are they seeing, it's kind of like a mother and a father. I mean, my children, every so often they will test one of us. They'll go up and say, well, Dad said this or Mom said this. And we're united on what we do and what we believe, and we support each other. So if I hear one of my children say something that's not accurate or not edifying and respectful of their mother, I'm going to stop them. I'm not going to add fuel to the fire by agreeing with them. So I don't understand the juvenile pettiness of where we are in this country. We have a dramatic lack of leadership at every level, on every side, and one's pointing fingers at the other one. You know, I learned something a long time ago. Whenever I'm pointing a finger at someone else, there's three pointed right back at me. Go ahead and point your finger. You'll see that. Point your finger out there. You'll see one finger pointed out away from you, but three of your fingers are pointed back at you. And I hope that we get better. I hope that discernment starts to reign. And you know what I found? The best thing that most of us can do is just turn off the radio, turn off the TVs, turn off the smartphones and the iPads and this type of thing. And just focus on our blessings, our family, our coworkers, the things that we find joy in. Because I will tell you, I use a lot of discernment, and I've been blessed with a lot of common sense. And I'll tell you, it's hard to guard your mind from all the backbiting and mudslinging and smackdowns and smutdowns and all the things that are happening, and nothing moves forward. It's just one vicious cycle, and it's frustrating, especially for the youth in our country. I'll be 50 years old next year, and I'll tell you, a lot of them have no faith whatsoever in our political process, in our government, and it seems like they've become more intrusive in the last 20 years than one can imagine. But with that being said, this is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, pulling the curtain back on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. And I guess the moral for today is the market's doing great. I hope your mind is well. I hope you're protecting your mind from all the noise that's out there. Because, ladies and gentlemen, from a long-term market perspective, that's all it is, just noise. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, check out our website, Financial Abundance, or FAI Coach. We just changed it, sorry, FAICoach.com. That's Frank Alpha Indian Coach.com. And there's a free resource package on there that you can click a button and request, and we'll get you some information, the kind of information that's not sales-oriented, the kind of information that is grounded in 50 years of academic research, the kind of things that you need to know to be a prudent investor. With that being said, I hope this finds you well. Again, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You've been listening to It's Your Money. Hope this finds you well, and have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.